For those of you who do not know, my name is Bob Menser. I'm one of the teaching elders here. And I have to be very careful this morning. So, I have a list of things that I need to do before we begin officially. And if you are a regular member of this congregation and wish to share in the things that we are doing, there are boxes along the side that you can place your offerings in, and there's also a text message that you can send, or the kiosk in the back, you can use those to give. I get to do this because the Activate team just sits there, and I get all of these eyes right on me, okay? They're just waiting, and I love to just draw this out, you know? So what are you guys doing this weekend? Okay, Activate, please go down. You are serving downstairs this morning, and we'll let you clear out. They're next. And as Pastor Judah has said, and Grace kids can go too. The title of this morning's message is called Act 5. And I want to give you a little bit of background as to where I came up with that title. And so it will involve a little bit of autobiography of myself. So just bear with me while I run through my younger years. And when I first went to college, my freshman year, they had a group called College Players, and they were doing performances. And I thought, I don't have anything else to do. I think I'll try out. So I tried out for the very first production they had, and I got not the lead, but I got a pretty good part in that particular play, and it's a well-known play. It was called The Rhymers of Eldridge. Yeah, well, whew. Well, then they had another one that came on a little bit later on in the year, and I once again tried out and was given a fairly good part in a famous play called Heda Hecuba. I also was involved in children's theater during that time, and I got to play Simple Simon. So I was acquainted with theater, and in the fall of my sophomore year, they were going to do a musical, and they had auditions, and I didn't show up for auditions. And 2 days later, the director of the play, or the musical, called me. Now, that was no easy thing because I lived in a dorm, and we had telephones that pay telephones. And anyway, he got a hold of me, and his name was Dr. McCormick, but we just called him Mac. That's what he wanted to be called if you had a relationship with him. And he said, "Why didn't you try out?" And I said, "Mac, you've never heard me sing, and you don't want to hear me sing. I don't even sound good in the shower, okay? So I didn't try out." And he said to me, "I have a part for you." I said, "Mac, I can't sing." He said, "Don't worry. I'll take care of it. Will you take the part?" I said, "Oh, okay." He said, rehearsal, Monday night, 7 o'clock, be there. Now, I want you to know, I didn't have any idea what the play was. I didn't have a clue as to this musical called Guys and Dolls. More than that, I couldn't sing. And so I thought, what am I going to do? Well, anyway, I don't know. I don't even know what my part is, okay? And I show up at rehearsal. And I know some of the people who are there from my past performances, but the singers are there. You know, the people who can sing. And looking around, and pretty big troupe. But I kind of looked at this one person. She was beautiful. And I thought, wow. Oh, she has the lead in this play. She can sing. She's smart. She's pretty. Well, you understand that when I got that telephone call from the director, I did not know how my answer to that simple question, will you be at rehearsal, will you take the part, would change my life entirely. And so I looked at the lead, and I thought, she does not want to have anything to do with me. I found out what my part was. It, not a big part at all. And I said, well, you know, there's no harm in trying. So I went up to her. You'll love this. You can use it. And I said, can I help you with your lines? And she said, yeah. And so, as rehearsals went on, I got to walk her home after practice back to the dorm. And 56 years later, I'm still walking her home. So, Act 5. Now, I'll tie this all together. Just don't worry, because there's a tie there. Just hang on. I thought, how, if I were looking at the Bible as a play, how would I divide it? And I divided it into 5 acts. And so Act 1, we call creation. And if you've been to the theater, you know you have an act, and within that act you have different scenes that take place. And some of those scenes are long, and some of those scenes are short. But Act 1 is creation, and that's got 6 or 7 or 8 scenes in it. Act 2, we call the fall, and that has 6 or 7 scenes in it. Now, I want you to pretend, go with me on this, that you have just spent $95 for your ticket to come to the theater. And you've watched Act 1 and you've watched Act 2, and here comes Act 3. And I want you to know that Act 3 has got a lot of scenes in it, a lot. And we call it Israel. And it starts with Abraham, and then it talks about his kids, and then it talks about Jacob, whose name gets changed to Israel. And then we go to a scene in Egypt, and then we go to this guy by the name of Moses, and then we have the covenant, and we have the law, and we have the tabernacle. And then we spend another scene in the wilderness, and then we have a scene that takes us into the promised land, and then we have the scene that deals with all these judges, and then we have three kings, and we discover Saul and David and Solomon. And then after Solomon dies, at the end of that scene, it breaks into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, which has 10 tribes in it, and the southern kingdom, which has 2 tribes in it. And after a few years, the northern kingdom is taken by the Assyrians, and they are all taken into exile and slavery. About 150 years later, we have the southern kingdom falls to this guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And then while all of that's going on, we have the Persian kingdom arises, and a guy by the name of Cyrus shows up. He's the king of the Persians, and he allows the Jews to Israel to return to their land, rebuild the temple. And then we have what's called, theologians call, the 400 years of silence. Now, if you're waiting for the 400 years of silence, I would suggest that that's a good time to go use the restrooms. So, now during all of that time, there are sprinkled throughout all of these years prophets, some major prophets, some minor prophets, but we come up on the end of the 400 years, and you're sitting there, and you've come back from the restroom, and you're watching the play, and the stage is bare, and then you hear this voice say, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And it's caught your attention. And we have Act 4, Jesus. And he shows up, and I don't know how to divide his. I didn't know whether to divide them by parables or by miracles or by the 12 disciples that he picks up or however we divide this into scenes. He appears to be the hero of the story. And you're watching it. And at the end, as the scenes narrow down, it looks like he's going to overthrow the Roman government. Looks like he's going to restore the great Israel. But he's unjustly convicted of a crime that he did not commit, and he's executed. And then the lights in the theater begin to go down. And pretty soon all the lights are out. And now even the exit signs, they go black. And you're sitting there in the dark, and some people are weeping and crying. And you think, is this the end? Has this play ended here in the dark? And you can't see anything, but you hear things rattling around, the stage crews doing something. What are they up to? And then after a few minutes, the lights come back up. But nobody's on stage. And this guy who was executed, this Jesus, he's there in the midst of the people. And he's walking around like he's the director. And he's saying to them, "Dan, do you want a part in this play?" And he's waiting for Dan to answer. Dan says, I don't know what the part is. Okay, I'll take the part. Whatever it is, I'll do it. And he's talking to different people. And some of them are saying, "Oh, no, no, I've got work tomorrow. I don't have time to involve myself in this play. And others are saying, well, come over here. And so this hero, this Jesus, walks over. He says, Maddie, do you want a part in the play? I don't know what the part is. I've got a part for you. Don't worry, just show up for rehearsal. Rehearsal's going to be a little, you're going to have to give up time, and you're going to have to learn the script, and you're going to have to learn your lines, and you're going to have to learn when to be on stage and when not to be on stage, but do you want the part? Okay, I'll take the part. And see, what he's looking for is he no longer wants to see spectators. He wants to see participants, because he's opening up this brand new act, Act 5. And it's actually not Act 5. It probably should be referred to as Act 1. Having given you all of that, Lane, you want part in the play? He shook his head. And so God is walking, the director is walking around saying, do you want a part in the play? I have a part for you. But there are certain things you're going to have to be willing to do. Just like when Mac called me and said, do you want that part? I said, I can't sing. I'll take care of it. Do you want the part? It's yours. Okay, Mac. And it changed my life forever. So let me put some meat on those bones, okay? Because I didn't just make this up. I find it in Scripture. And that's a good place to find it. So let's go to the next. Remember, the title of this is The New Creation. See, when Jesus says it is finished, he means the old creation is finished. And we are about to enter into a brand new creation. But let's make no mistake about it. Let's get the people straight. And so in Colossians, Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. Now, wait a minute. You're going to get a little troublesome there. He is the firstborn. Means he has primary space. There's nobody else. He is number one. He is the chief in this creation. For by him, and now Paul says, listen, I don't want you to get confused there. I want you to understand who this director is. It's his play. He wrote it. And so you got to find out a few of these things about him. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. One more. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So make no mistake about it. In this new creation, he is the head. He is the creator. He did it all. It is finished. We are now turning the page to a new act. So we want to go to scene one. In scene one, Jesus, our first fruits, resurrection. Let's go to Galatians. Now, Paul is arguing with the Galatians. And there have been some who have come in among this early church and have said, if you are going to be part of this covenant, you need to be circumcised. And Paul is vehemently saying, that is not part of the new creation. And he writes this short one verse, for neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision. And he's beginning to try to point you to the fact that this is Act 5. This is a new creation. And so when we think about it, we think about, well, how is it new? Well, we know that there's only been one sacrifice for all. There are no more daily, yearly sacrifices. It's been taken care of. Your sins. His blood has taken your sins out of the way. He has washed you clean. You are clean, clean, clean. He's established a new priesthood. You are priests. Let me read that from 1 Peter. I don't have that up there, so I'm just going to read it. But you are, this is 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. And you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are priesthood. The Levitical priesthood was the old creation. The new creation is you have become priest to the king. You have become priest to the God. The old covenant has passed away. Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. The temple's gone. What's the new temple? You all know this. I got one person. What's the new temple? Yes. Old things have passed away. It is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, but it is this new creation that we need to be aware of and walk in. Oh, and yes. How did the Spirit happen in the old creation? It would come upon one or two people. But now it's come upon all of us who believe. We are walking in a new creation. We are the first fruits of a new creation. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, I want you to know that new things have come. You no longer walk in the old ways. You walk in the new ways, and you need to learn the new ways. Do you want a part in the play? There are new ways and new things. Romans, I like this. I've stumbled over this for years. It's Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. Why does it stop now? Because we're not dealing with the old creation. We are dealing with a new creation, with a new people, with a new directive. Same director. just a different act. Let's go to scene two, because I'm going to run out of time. Let's go to Revelation 21. Now, we all think, well, wait a minute, I won't say we all think. A lot of times I thought that when you're reading the book of Revelation, it is only talking about future things. But obviously, as we read through Revelation 21, just because it's the end of Revelations, he's making reference to Act 5, the new creation. And so it reads, "And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost.'" Does that sound like Jesus talking in John? He said, "Anyone who's thirsty, come to me. Drink. You want a part in the play? Drink. It's yours without cost. It's free. It's a new creation. Grab a hold of it. For he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." See, Jesus talked about this when he had a parable, and I want to go over the parable with you. It's in Matthew. It's in Matthew. It's in Matthew. Ah, Matthew. There's Matthew. Jesus said, "But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results." See, I'm not going to patch the old creation. I'm going to make it brand new. And then he goes on about the wineskins. "Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins." You know, old wineskins get a little leathery, and they get tough, and they get tight, and there's no give to them. And so when you pour a new wine into it, the fermentation process makes it expand. And if it expands on old wineskin, because there's no elasticity in the old wineskin, it will break. And he's saying, otherwise the wineskins will burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined, not to mention the wine. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. See, you are sitting here, and God's saying, you are new wineskins, and I want to pour into you the things about this new creation, this new covenant, this new temple, that you, being first fruits, will walk in them, that you will be a light to others, that you will be able to say, I'm a light on the hill because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm a light in this dark place so that others will see that God has moved. This is not a religion. This is a life. Let's go to Joel. "And it will come about after these days, after this, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." See, this is new. This isn't the way it was done in the past, and we can't live in the past, and we can't look to the past. We have to look to what God is doing now, and he's doing a new thing. This is all part of Act 5, the new creation. And he's walking around, and he's saying, do you want a part? Hey, Kevin, do you want a part in the new play? Okay, you're going to be at rehearsal? Got a little head shake. Rehearsal. It's going to take, if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to pick up your cross and die. You're going to have to mimic him. You're going to have to imitate him. Because he said, this is new. This isn't the way it was in the old days, in the old covenant. This is the new covenant. Let's go to John. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to understand, the kingdom is now here. The new God's kingdom, and we are the first fruits of it. And you think, well, it's been 2,000 years. Yeah, we are still the first fruits of it. And the people who were here 100 years before us were still the first fruits of it, because he's doing a new thing. And he's calling, and he's saying, my kingdom has come. Behold, all things are new. Join me. Join me in what I'm doing, and be a light in this dark place, and show them what I have done for you. Okay, quick, scene three. Embracing the new creation in Christ. Let's go to James. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. We are new creation. Colossians. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, the old creation, and he has transferred us. If you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, if you have laid down your life and said, I want a part in the play, and I will take it, then he's transferred us into this new kingdom, into this new creation. And it is up to us to learn our parts. It's up to us to know when you have to be on stage and when you don't. And what do I mean by that? Because he's going to say, well, Dan. He looked like he was nodding off. I need you to clean the house tomorrow morning, because I want you to be a witness to Beth. Well, I don't like that part. That's your part. Okay, I'll do my part. He's called us all different roles, but all part of the new creation. I'll close with Romans because I'm out of time. And then I'll have to forewarn you. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Have you been baptized into Christ? If you haven't, that's an important thing. It's an important role. Because it says when you go into the water, you don't have to stay there, you get to come out. Jeremiah will find that out today. But he comes out as if he was raised from the dead. And he comes out into this new creation, this new world for him. Let's go on from there. Through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. New creation, new covenant, new temple, new life. Walk in it. Walk in it. I said I was going to close with that, but my tongue keeps saying don't. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. See, there is, your image is being changed. It should be being changed into who Christ is. It should be reflective. Somebody looks at you and they say, I see Jesus in you. I see who you are in Christ. You need to. And I love what it says there. The true knowledge. Not the knowledge of this world. This world is going to tell you all kinds of things. It's going to tell you, this is the way you need to act. You need my own. You need to honk your horn at that guy, because he pulled out in front of you and you had the right of way. You need to keep the extra money that the cashier gave you, because it's yours now. You need, in this world, and he's saying, I want you to be renewed to this new knowledge of the one who has made you new. Amen. Next week, trying to think what next week's is, the new creation transformation. New creation transformation. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for walking among us and speaking to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've sent to lead us and to guide us into all truth, that we might walk in his ways, that we might be those new creations in this new creation. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are going to continue to do throughout this time. And Lord God, we thank you for Jeremiah, who said, I want to be raised up with Christ. Amen.